Right now it is time to bring in Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven. Arthur joins us on a Monday morning. We talk about food, and we love it. Good morning, Arthur.
Got a sunny morning here, too. And I must say, some biodiversity.
That's right.
I saw some birds this morning that I haven't seen in a couple of years. Anyway, eggs. What can I say about eggs? Everything. So, as I mentioned last week, Passover and Easter both use eggs symbolically as well as gastronomically. I mean, because chickens, before they were raised in artificial light and environments, respond to the longer days by giving more eggs. So springtime is, and of course, there's the mating part of that too, which is, I witnessed, by the way, the cardinals in my tree here, speaking of mating. Anyway, eggs are predominant in these two religions, and I'm sure in other religions too, because eggs are a pagan symbol of fertility for obvious reasons. And I did check this out this morning. I couldn't find anything in particular. Do eggs play a part in Islamic iconography and mythology, culture, symbolism? And I couldn't find anything, except eggs are halal if they come from a halal animal, which means they're appropriate for food if they come from a chicken or a duck or a goose. Not if they come from a reptile, which also lay eggs. Anyway, I have so many recipes for eggs that I really need to decide edits myself here. But what really came to mind this morning when I was thinking about eggs is this super trendy dish called shakshuka, which is nothing more than eggs poached in a well-seasoned tomato base. You could say sauce. It is, of course, exactly the same thing as what I've been making for 1,000 years, and I call eggs in purgatory, the Neapolitan dish, or I should say Southern Italian dish, of eggs poached in tomato sauce. I do this all. I used to do this a lot because I love eating it, and I love to dunk bread into it. But when I stopped eating bread, although I am back to bread, I stopped making it. I just couldn't see all that sauce and the runny eggs going without something to mop it all up. Anyway, shakshuka is pretty much the same thing. I'm always surprised that every Neapolitan American, Sicilian American, Calabrese American, Pugliese American knows how to make eggs in purgatory, and it's such a homey thing. You never saw it in the restaurants owned by all those Southern Italians, the Italian-American restaurants that we all grew up going to, because that's what there was. That's all there was, you know, red sauce restaurants. I hate using that expression, red sauce, but it means a lot to people. Anyway, so that dish of eggs in purgatory, even one made elaborately, I sometimes do riffs on it, depending on what's in the fridge, and even ones with riffs that you could serve in a restaurant never appeared in a restaurant. Yet shakshuka, every place that serves hummus these days has shakshuka. I mean, I see shakshuka everywhere. And shakshuka is basically Northwest African, from Tunisia, Algeria, the Maghreb, Morocco, and is seasoned the way they would season their food with spices and herbs. But now, shakshuka, I think, became trendy because it's a popular dish in Israel. Now, how did it get to Israel? Because it's not Israeli. Shakshuka, as I said, comes from the Maghreb, which is the northwest of Africa. And it's because, I would say, maybe in the 1970s, as late as the 1970s, there was a big migration of Sephardic Jews from Morocco and Tunisia, Libya, Algeria, to Israel. And they became very important in the restaurant world. When I went to Israel in the early 80s, it was Moroccan chefs who had basically guided the country into some kind of sane eating, because prior to that it was a mishmash of Eastern European traditions, blah, blah, blah. And by the time I got to Israel in the early 80s, you could not find gefilte fish anywhere. No, and none of the Jewish foods, the things I thought of as Jewish, existed in Israel. Well, they did exist, but it wasn't what you ate in a restaurant. What you ate was food from the Maghreb, hence shakshuka. So if you go online, I'm not going to give you a shakshuka recipe. If you go online, you'll find a zillion of them. I'm sure. I know because I looked. But eggs in purgatory is easier in the sense that you don't have to. It's just plain tomato sauce. In fact, I tell people who are really lazy, go buy a jar of tomato sauce, that your favorite tomato sauce. Or whatever jarred sauce. The fact is, I make Bob's favorite dish in the world, probably, is spaghetti alla matriciana. And so I make the sauce for alla matriciana, which is tomatoes with pancetta and a little onion, and a tiny bit of hotness. I like more than he does, but I can add later. And I often have that, I make enough, we're just two, that we eat half of it one night on pasta, and the next night I could make eggs in purgatory with it, which is really delicious. And if you think about it, it's bacon and eggs. Pancetta is kind of bacon. So I just make any old tomato sauce, pour it into a skillet. Depends on how many eggs you're cooking and how much you want to eat. But for the two of us, two eggs each, maybe really hungry, three eggs each, and a 10-inch skillet, your normal, whatever, quart jar of tomato sauce goes nicely into a 10-inch skillet. You bring it to a simmer, and you break the eggs directly into it. I like to hold the egg enough over the surface of the pan so that it creates its own indentation when it falls into the tomato sauce. This takes a little bit of practice and skill. Any way you do it, I mean, the easy, safe way, I guess, is to break the egg into a little custard cup and then pour that into the sauce. If it's a thick enough sauce, you can make an indentation with the back of a spoon so that it gets a little bit more encompassed by sauce. That's it. Then you put in the eggs into this nicely seasoned sauce, and I cover the pan, and usually at a very slow simmer, it takes about 8 minutes. Maybe less, maybe more. It depends on how runny you want your yolks. And that, you just eat it in a bowl with bread, or you can put it on bread. Be sure to scoop up the eggs from the bottom. I always do this in a no-stick pan. I don't want to leave anything behind. I must say, for eggs in general, I use a no-stick pan, 10-inch no-stick pan. And you got your eggs in purgatory. As I said, any sauce you like. Now, there are so many things to do with eggs. Let's start with the price of eggs, which I keep hearing has gone up and up. Do you know what you're paying for eggs, Marshall?
No, I don't. Yeah, this sounds terrible, but I don't even look at the price when I go to the store.
I know you don't. That's why I questioned it. I didn't say, how much is the eggs? I know that, a lot of people don't pay attention, but I do pay attention. But the fact is, my special eggs from a farmer, I buy them on Saturday morning, cost $6 a dozen, and her price has not changed, or his price has not changed. I'm still not sure who at this booth actually raises the eggs. But anyway, they've been $6 for a couple of 3 years already. So my price of eggs hasn't gone up, but they were always expensive. In the supermarket, I think I noticed that they were about $3 a dozen, $2.89, $3.19, somewhere in there. Even at $6 a dozen, think about this, which is a high price for eggs, it's 50 cents an egg. Can you get better, cheaper protein? No. So, I mean, think about it. One expensive eggs, two eggs, $1, $1.50 if you want to have three eggs. I make frittatas, three eggs per person. So it's an inexpensive, it's perfect protein. And if you were my age-ish, you'll remember when eggs were taboo because they were high in cholesterol, they were high in fat, they had salmonella. I mean, there were all these reasons not to eat eggs. We don't have any of those reasons anymore. Just wake up and to the news that you can eat a lot of eggs and you'll be fine, even if you have high cholesterol. Maybe you shouldn't be cooking your eggs in butter if you have high cholesterol. But then again, eggs cooked in olive oil are really good. And in fact, I would say 99% of the time, when I make a frittata, it's based on olive oil, and it's not based on butter at all. So now that I've mentioned frittata three times, let me talk about frittatas. So a frittata is not really an omelet in the French sense of omelet, but we think of it in the U.S. as a open-faced omelet or a pancake kind of omelet. A real good frittata, traditional frittata, is made on top of the stove. I'm going to speculate here, but I know my history. A big part of that is because in Italy, and actually in before World War II, kitchens in Europe did not have good ovens, if they had an oven at all, and most everything was cooked on top of the stove. So frittatas were cooked on top of the stove. Easy. You cook one side, you flip it over and cook the other side. However, flipping is not so easy. And I've been teaching frittatas for 30 years, and I know that a lot of people have trouble with the flipping part. Even if they can do it, and I supervise the doing of it, they don't believe they can do it on their own. So, you know what? It's not such a terrible thing to stick the frittata in the oven or under the broiler. And I do it myself these days when I'm lazy or when I'm making a very large frittata, like in my 12-inch pan. I cannot flip that one easily, even though I bought, by the way, an all-purpose lid, you know, one of these lids that goes in all sizes of pans to get it to that size. I still have I have trouble with it. So a lid. It is easier to flip a frittata when you flip it with a lid that has a handle on it, as opposed to a dinner plate, which is the traditional way. I know lots of Italian women who still do it that way. But then again, I also know a great Italian cook, my friend Geraldina, who taught me to do it with a pot cover because it's so much easier. Because just the fact that it has a handle to hold the thing in place makes it easier. So a frittata is an open omelet, and it could be just plain. It could just be eggs, some grated cheese, and salt and pepper, and that's it. But that would be a boring frittata. So my most basic frittata usually, I mean, you know, I don't have everything in the house all the time, is an onion frittata, which I love. Dice the onion, cook it in olive oil until it's nice and soft and golden, and then turn that mixture, that egg with the oil that's mixed with it, into your beaten eggs. I would say a medium onion is all you need. Well, yeah, medium large onion for six eggs, and pour it back in your nonstick skillet. If you want to add another drop of olive oil, go ahead. Not usually necessary. You have oil already mixed in with the eggs. And cook that over medium heat, pulling in the sides of the pulling in the edges toward the middle to let runny eggs, go into the edge of the frittata. And when it sort of looks half-cooked, put it in a 400-degree oven, 350. If you have something else that's in the oven, anywhere in that range is fine. And finish it until it's baked through, or stick it under the broiler. Now, this is tricky because not every skillet is prepared to go under 500 degree heat. So be careful. Now, I have one that I'm iffy about. I've never really tempted fate here. I never put it fully under the broiler. But I do know that the pan part, not the handle, but the pan part of the pan, unquestionably goes under the broiler because I've used it many times. And then you just want to see, make sure that it's all cooked through, and it could be a little browned on the surface as well. Browned eggs can be very good. And that's it. I let it cool in the pan for at least 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Could be hours, truthfully. And I keep the pan covered, or not, and cut it into wedges or squares. Delicious, a frittata. Now, if you're too lazy to make a frittata, which requires a little bit of effort, how about the same thing but just make it scrambled eggs?
I was going to just tell you, when I was a kid, my dad was an entertainer. Every summer for one day, he would let us stay up until the sun came up, okay? We would stay up all night with him, and we would listen to the radio. We played cards and everything. And before we went to bed, he made scrambled eggs and onions.
Ooh.
It was the best in the world.
Ooh. You know, my father was an amateur comedian. He never got paid for telling jokes or stories. But that was his favorite thing, too. Interesting. I think that could be generational, too.
Yeah, it was, but the best. And then he would leave all the
eggs and onions. I just love it.
Then he would leave all the pots and pans.
And, of course, if you add lox or smoked salmon, it's even better.
Yeah, well, when you're a kid, you don't want that stuff. You just want the eggs.
No, you don't.
It smells so good, well, and it tastes so good.
I did, because my father wanted it. So our bonding was over food. My father was an auto mechanic, and so my form of rebellion was to be not interested in cars. But he didn't really care, I don't think. So that was not really even an effective rebellion. But we did bond over food, and I do love, and I can still picture my father in the kitchen making lox, eggs, and onions, which is that and broadcast corned beef hash right out of the can into a skillet. Were the only two things he ever cooked.
Well, my father always used to leave the dishes and go back to bed. We all went to bed, and my mother or my grandmother would come down and have to do the dishes.
Anyway, so eggs in purgatory, the first cousin of shakshuka, this super trendy dish. But I failed to mention, there's a Turkish version of this, too, which you're going to like, because the eggs are not poached, you don't have to deal with runny yolks, and it's called menemen, and it's the Turkish version, which is the same thing as shakshuka or eggs in purgatory, except that you scramble the eggs in the sauce, as opposed to poaching whole eggs in the sauce. So if you prefer your eggs scrambled, they don't come out like scrambled eggs, because you're in sauce. But it's really delicious. Now, Easter Monday, this Monday, a week from today, I shouldn't say this Monday, but a week from today, is a day that is celebrated as a holiday in southern Italy. Easter Monday is a traditional day to go to the countryside, or if you're in the countryside, to picnic. And the dishes that you take on this picnic are egg-based. What else? Time for eggs. Chief among them is, well, there are two. There's the pastiera, which is a sweet pie, not only made with a lot of eggs, but also with whole grains of wheat, which is another symbol of fertility. Remember, this is the... Actually, in the south of Italy, they grow a lot of wheat, pasta country, bread country. So pastiera, and the other thing is, I call it pizza rustica, but that's a very generic name. There are other names that are more colorful, but to me, a pizza rustica is, again, a pie, pizza, made savory, rustica, which is, in this case, usually ricotta, diced hard cheeses like provolone or diced mozzarella, which is not a hard cheese, diced salumi, meaning salami, ham, whatever, prosciutto, which is a cured ham. So diced meats, diced cheeses, in a background of ricotta and eggs. So in a way, it's like the pastiera, which is ricotta and eggs with grain, but this is the savory version, not the sweet version. Now, pastiera, the sweet version, is very Neapolitan. It's I think in most books, in fact, they refer to it as pastiera napolitana. And the most famous place to buy a pastiera, travelers, if you're going back to Italy, if you're going to Naples, you cannot miss Scaturchio. Scaturchio is, there are several Scaturchio now, but I remember the original bakery, it's still there, on Piazza, it'll come to me. But the other Scaturchio, one of them is actually in the lowest level of La Scala, of the opera house, San Carlo, the opera house in Naples. Scaturchio has a great cafe where you can get all these things by the piece, but probably whole too. And then there are places that sell Scaturchio pastiera because it is the most famous pastiera in Naples. And it is so loved that it is now made all year long. So you don't have to be going to Naples around Easter time to get a pastiera. And I have a recipe for pastiera in both my Southern Italian books, in Naples at Table and in the Southern Italian Table. I've evolved my recipe over the years, but I do make it with fresh, meaning dry, whole wheat grain. There are many recipes that call for canned grain, and you can buy in a good Italian market. They sell, especially this time of the year, they sell already cooked grain in a can. So I've used various, sometimes I see this and I buy it just to check it out again. I've never found a canned grain that is anywhere near as good as soaking and boiling your own grain. Now, some recipes tell you got to soak the grain for 3 days. I've never found that to be true. If you soak it for 1 day, it's fine. And then you bring it to a simmer, and you continue to simmer. It could take a half hour to an hour. I find it depends on the grain. Until the grain is tender. And you're going to end up with a lot of starchy, I don't want to call it sauce, but the starch from the grain and mixed with the water and boiled, and it's pasty. And you mix that with ricotta. Candied fruits. A lot of people do not like candied fruits, but if it has many colors of candied fruit in it, that's Neapolitan. If you don't like all candied fruit, you could make one just say with candied cherries would be perfect. Or maybe just some raisins and cherries or figs. You know, find some dried fruit or candied fruit that you actually like. It doesn't the green stuff is citron, and when it's good citron, it's good. But I know that in these mixed candied fruits that you buy in the supermarket, it's not so good. So make your choice, and then traditionally, pastiera has orange flower water, but you can also just use some orange zest, and that'll do it. It'll give you that orange fragrance that you want. So that's it. Now, the only hard part about pastiera, making the filling is super easy, but I find making the pastry is not so easy. Of course, I'm not a great pastry maker either. But this is, I've worked with this dough so many times to tell you that there's no winning with it. But pasta frolla is what they call short pastry. But it's not like French short pastry. It's more like sugar cookie pastry. And it's the traditional pastry for a pie. For a for any kind of pie, crostata, you could call it. You can go online and find pasta frolla recipes, but I would say that whatever the recipe is, and I've made many, the easiest ones are made with, the easiest to work with. The problem with this pastry is not making it or rolling it out. It's handling it afterwards. It breaks easily. And a traditional pastiera, or even crostata, has a lattice crust. Very difficult to work with. I learned from a culinary student once, years ago, she was supposed to be learning from me, but I learned from her, that if you make the lattice on a piece of wax paper, and instead of on top of the pastry itself, it's way easier, and you can make corrections. And then freeze the lattice that you've created on the wax paper and put that over the pie. And you can trim the edges when you with a scissor. That usually, even on frozen pastry, works. And then you got it. But it is a difficult pastry to work with, just to say. You're going to look up a recipe. I don't think I'm going to give you one. Oh, so I didn't get finish my sentence before. The easiest ones are made with powdered sugar. So you'll find, if when you go online, you're going to find some that are made with granulated sugar, but I find the powdered sugar versions are much easier to handle, and I believe that's what I have in the Southern Italian table. And I haven't bothered to look it up, but I'm pretty sure. And that same dough can be used for things other than a crostata or a pastiera. For instance, I love these cookies. You know, Regina cookies? They're little twists of buttery dough with sesame seeds. Do you remember those from your childhood?
Oh, yeah.
They're still sold in Italian bakeries. Maybe even Stella D'Oro has them in this. Oh, I haven't seen those products in a long time. They still have Stella D'Oro. Anyway, Regina, what they're called, and all you do is use that pasta frolla dough, one made with confectioner's sugar, and roll them in sesame seeds and bake them. And they keep for weeks. So I think you'll probably eat them up before they will spoil. But in theory, in a tin can, they will stay for weeks. Of course, eventually the sesame seeds go before the actual cookie goes. Eggs. Need I say more?
Nothing like eggs. I'm telling you.
Yep. And by the way, a good diet food, no matter what diet you're on.
I believe it. Absolutely.
All 75 right. calories in an egg.
Yeah.
Well, that's all right, Marshall. We need the diet advice.
That's right.
I've been under high stress lately for reasons I don't want to divulge on the radio. So that has drawn me to pasta and other carbohydrates.
Well,
my mantra, carbs are calming. Carbs are calming.
It's true. I mean, a big advice to get your serotonin level, if you're a little anxious, have yourself a baked potato. And boom.
You know, that's a good idea. What am I going to put on the potato? I guess butter.
You can put a little bit of butter on it, but potatoes calm.
Yes, they're calming. It's carbs are calming.
And
carbs are calming.
It releases serotonin, and it's nice. Right.
Very good. Well, does the spaghetti do the same thing?
I don't know. I hope for you it does.
I did make a ragu al salsicce the other night. It's a quick ragu with some sausage. And we had spaghetti. And it was satisfying.
Yeah, I would think it would be.
Now I'm craving spaghetti with clam sauce, but I'm not going to make that because, first of all, Bob doesn't love clams. We've been through this already. I make it with regular fish. But in any case, there is a restaurant in my neighborhood, newish restaurant, where I haven't eaten it yet, but I'm certain. I'm absolutely certain. They're going to make a wonderful clam sauce for me. He is going to make a wonderful clam sauce. His name is Andrea.
All right.
All right. So anyway, next week is Easter Monday.
Well,
just saying.
All right. Have a good week, Arthur. We'll speak to you next week.
You too.
Take care.
Happy Passover also.
Yep. Bye-bye. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. here on Robin Hood Radio, and you can hear Arthur every Monday morning at this time, or online, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Arthur Schwartz, the food maven.
Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, Hillsdale Home Chef. More information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.